Matthew chapter number 10 is our launching text once again tonight. If you found your place, Matthew 10, let's stand tonight and read once again the Word of God. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, affirmative identity. Affirmative identity. Looking at primarily the life of this apostle by the name of Bartholomew. But let's remind ourselves as to what the text says. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew." And you may be seated tonight. We find Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give the name of this man by the name of Bartholomew when the apostles are listed. We find that that his name is mentioned there in what is classified primarily as the Synoptic Gospels, that being those three that are very similar, those three that have the same agenda, most of all to tell the story of Christ, but they come pretty much from the same perspective. We find that that fourth Gospel, the Gospel of John, is that different Gospel. And we find that in the Gospel of John that he does not identify Bartholomew as Bartholomew, but he identifies him as Nathanael. And we find that his record is found there in John chapter 1. So if you want to take your Bible and open up to John chapter number 1, we're going to begin tonight and look in verse number 45. Now, Bartholomew and Nathanael is only mentioned in this one text. Now, I believe that he was just as close to the Lord Jesus as many of these other disciples. I believe that he was just as close in his relationship unto the Lord and as he walked with him and observed him and learned from him as the others. But we only find this one passage of Scripture that truly gives us some history as to whom that Nathanael was. But as we look at this text tonight, I want you to ask yourselves the question, do you identify with the Lord Jesus somehow, some way, in the same manner as Nathanael did? Do you allow yourself to reflect upon your life and look at your life the same way that Nathanael was forced to reflect upon his life? I believe it's good sometimes to look back. Amen. There's a lot of folks say you won't ever get nowhere in life if you just keep looking back. And I believe that's true to a certain extent. But my friend, I believe we can lose direction in life sometimes if we don't look back. We can lose our focus on life if we don't reflect, if we don't remind ourselves as to whom we used to be, and and as to where that God hath brought us from. The Bible here shares with us some real truths in John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 45. First thing I want you to see here tonight within the text, as we look at the life of Nathanael, is a smart aleck remark. A smart aleck remark. Now, I believe there's some folks here that might be able to identify with that tonight. Amen. My wife would tell me that she knows I can identify with that. She reminds me of that quite often, that I sometimes have a smart aleck mouth. And I remember whenever I was a young man, my grandmother used to call me and she'd say, "Boy, you're some smart fella, ain't you? Real fella smart, she'd say. And sometimes we allow our lips to get ahead of our mind. Amen. Anybody identify with that tonight? Your lips get ahead of your mind. Us men fall into that category a lot more than the women do. But I'm getting close to home, ain't I, Ronnie? Bible tells us here tonight in John chapter 1, verse number 43. Let's back up verse 43. We looked this last week in the life of Philip. The Bible says the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael. Boy, I'm glad for those that desire to soul win, aren't you? I'm glad for those that desire to share the gospel when they're led, when God pricks their heart, when God brings them to a place in their life that they are able to intermingle, able to intertwine with a lost individual, and God so impresses upon their heart to tell them about Jesus. We find that Philip had met the Son of God. Philip had met Jesus. And the first thing he did was he went and he found Nathanael. Now, Nathanael's response is not necessarily something that a lot of us respond to, but I believe there's a lot of people that can identify as to how that Nathanael responded when he heard this word from Philip. There's a lot of folks respond in the same way and in the same manner, and they give a smart aleck response, a smart aleck remark rather, whenever they're approached with the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in verse number 45, the Bible says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we look at the text tonight, we find that Andrew and Peter, we know, were close friends. They were close fellas. Excuse me. And the Bible says there that Philip went and he found Nathanael. So that tells us that they probably had a close relationship. They were two men that had come together, probably studied the law. They had read the prophets together. Hey, they had a desire to know God and to know what God's will was for their life. I believe they were truly the true Jews, and we find that Jesus identifies that later in the text. But the Bible says there in verse 45, and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And look at what Nathanael says. The Bible says in verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see, there was a sense of prejudice within the heart, within the mind, within the lips of this man by the name of Nathanael. And the Bible says here that he made that remark, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see, the Judeans despised the Galileans, who in turn despised the Nazarenes. And we find that this prejudice evidently wasn't too deep within his heart, because the Lord Jesus shared with him and did a work there within him that we allowed him to see a change within his tone of voice. But nevertheless, right off his lips was a smart aleck remark. I want to remind you, my friend tonight, that sometimes we need to back up. Sometimes we need to think before we speak. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we identifying with Nathanael? Is there something good coming out of my mouth? Or is there something that's going to bring demise unto the house of God, unto the church of God, under the Savior of the church, the Lord Jesus? Hey, are we saying stuff tonight that comes out of our life that's going to edify and equip the body of Christ? Or is it something that's going to downgrade the church, my friend? Hey, there's a lot of people who look down upon Jesus, not because of whom that He is, but because of the life of the Christian. Amen. Hey, there's some folks that look down upon Christ because of how that the people that proclaim to be born again live their daily lives. And a lot of times they'll say, well, I don't see no need in going to church. You'll walk up to somebody and you'll say, hey, would you like to come to church? We welcome you to come to East Florida Baptist Church. And they say, well, I used to go to church until so-and-so did this. I used to go to church until he said that. I used to go to church until she did that. And they say, hey, I'm just as good as they are. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folk that make up the Baptist church today, hey, that ain't no count. And what they're saying is, whenever they say that, is that they're saying they're just a no good as well. They're just somebody that ain't no better than somebody else. My friend, we need to realize that when we walk with Jesus, and when we talk for Him, that it's something that's recorded down in the portals of heaven, and we need to realize that there's folks around us with open ears. There's folks around us with an open mind. There's people that are observing us. They're watching us. So we need to ask ourselves, do we identify with Nathanael? Is there a smart aleck remark upon our lips at all times? Do we have a sense within us that does not desire to uplift and to magnify anybody, but we're always bringing down? My friend, the Bible shares with us that Nathanael all of a sudden had a change of heart. But we have to ask ourselves, are we that one that has a smart mouth? Are we that one that sometimes might be just a no good? And so we've asked ourselves that. Do we identify? I want to have an affirmative identity within myself to know whom I identify with. So first of all, we see a smart aleck remark. Secondly, we see a sweet, eternal response. Well, I'm thankful for Jesus and His mercy and His grace. Amen. Hey, I'm glad He looks down upon me. And when my lips get ahead of myself, whenever I say something before I think, whenever I taste a big mouthful of shoe leather, I was watching Andy this afternoon, and he told Opie, he said, well, you and Aunt B's having chicken, but I'm having crow. And that's where we find ourselves sometimes, amen? But nevertheless, Jesus brought forth a sweet, eternal response. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 47. Now, can you imagine Philip and Nathanael standing there before the Son of God, and Nathanael allows that to come out of his lips. He says, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." And as he approached the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now we see that that prejudice was on the surface, that Jesus knew his heart. Well, I'm glad that Jesus looks beyond ourselves sometimes, aren't you? I'm glad that God looks beyond our humanity. I'm glad that God looks beyond the frailty of our flesh. I'm glad that God looks beyond our worldliness. I'm glad that God looks beyond our peer pressure. I'm glad God looks beyond as to whom that sometimes we look like and identify with. And He looks down in the depths of our heart. You see, Jesus went right in into the heart of the matter. And He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Now, I want to remind you tonight, just as the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, hey, everybody that looks like a Jew ain't necessarily a Jew. Amen. Everybody that looks like a Hebrew on the outside ain't necessarily a Hebrew. I want to recollect that, and I want to reflect that unto the church tonight. Hey, everybody that looks like the church, don't make up the church. Amen. There's a lot of people that look good. There's a lot of people that know the ins and outs. There's a lot of people know when church takes up and when it lets up. There's a lot of folks know when so-and-so arrives and when so-and-so leaves. Hey, there's a lot of folks that know how long the preacher's going to preach. Hey, there's some of y'all might be able to finish my outlines before I ever get to the next point. But I want to tell you tonight, hey, it ain't about knowing the ins and outs of church. It's about knowing Jesus. Amen. Hey, he looked down upon this young man, and he said there in verse number 47, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 28, he said, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." Hey, I'll tell you what, he was saying that, hey, you can go through all the Hebrew law and meet all the standards of the day and time in which you live, but unless you know God Almighty through your heart, you're not truly a Jew. Hey, the Bible says there in Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 6, he says there, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because are they the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." That is, that they are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. "For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." So we see that there was a direct promise that there was there through God. And I want to tell you tonight that if you've been a recipient of the promise of God, if you've been a recipient of the grace of God, if you've allowed the Word of God to change your life and to change your heart, and you've committed yourself unto Him, hey, if God saved you, amen, hey, it don't matter what you look like on the outside. The most important thing is what's on the inside. So we see this sweet, eternal response that's given unto Nathanael from the Lord Jesus. He says, "Behold, look upon this man and see him." He says, "He's an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." There's no deceit. There's no trickery. There's no witchery about this man. Hey, when you look at him, you get what you got. And the Bible says there that Nathanael responds and he saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Hey, that's where we've all found ourselves sometimes, amen? Well, we step back and we say, "God, how did you know that? Lord Jesus, how did you understand that? How did you know?" I want to tell you what, Jesus is omnipresent. Jesus is omniscient. Jesus is He's all-powerful. I want to tell you tonight, God knows all, sees all. He is all. He understands whom you are. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're at tonight. He knows where you're going tomorrow. And His sweet eternal response can be the same unto you as it was unto Nathanael. And my friend, He can bring comfort unto your soul. He can forgive that smart aleck remark and bring forth a sweet eternal response. The Bible says there that Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now, old Nathanael probably thought, there ain't nobody else around. Nathanael was out there underneath that fig tree. Now, they say that in the Jewish Hebrew culture that the fig tree in that day and time produced a large canopy. And a lot of times they'd plant them beside their house that they might have a place of retreat. They might have a place that they can go and rest in the shade in the heat of the day. Hey, they could go there and find solace. They could go there. They could pray. They could go there and study the Word. They could go there and have time alone for themselves and spend a little time with God. And the Bible says there that He says before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Amen. Hey, God knows exactly whom Nathanael is. God knows exactly whom you are tonight. My friend, is do you identify with Him? Are you acknowledging Him? Is there an affirmation within the depths of your heart to know tonight that if you was to die, you'd go to heaven? Is there an affirmation in your heart tonight to know that you identify with Him and that you are walking with Him, you're talking with Him? Hey, you're serving Him tonight. On the inside of the church as well, on the outside of the church. My friend, we need to acknowledge that tonight. We need to ask ourselves, do we identify with the Lord Jesus? The Bible says there in verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, thou art the Son of God and art the King of Israel. My friend, we need to allow ourselves to acknowledge that saying. Nathanael affirmed his deity. As he names Christ there in verse number 49, I want to tell you there's no better teacher than the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I tell you, we've got some good teachers in our church. But I'll tell you what, Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever walked. He was the greatest teacher that ever opened up the Bible, ever opened up that Greek Septuagint, ever opened up the Word of God, and began to proclaim and to teach and to rightly divide. And He proclaimed that as He said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. I want to tell you, there is no other. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of people that identify themselves unto God Almighty, and they might call themselves a Son of God, but there is only one true and living Son of God in that uniqueness as that Jesus was the only begotten of the Father above. He was the only one conceived of the Holy Ghost through the womb of the Virgin Mary. He's the only one that could ever fulfill that role. And Nathanael steps back and identifies Him as the Son of God. And then he says there, Thou art the King of Israel. I want to tell you, He is the great potentate. Hey, there is no one that supersedes Him. There is no one who's in a position higher than Him. Jesus is the say-all. Jesus is the one that rules all. He's the one that has the final say. And we need to recognize Him as King in our life. King in our heart. Hey, He's King in Israel. He's King in America. He's King no matter where you're at on the face of this earth. On this side of eternity, Jesus is King. So do you identify? Do you have that same sweet eternal response applied to your heart and to your life? Hey, Jesus is extending mercy. Jesus is extending grace tonight if you'll only reach out and receive it. So we see this affirmative identity. We see the smart aleck remark. Do you identify with that? Do you have that? Do you have that characteristic in your life? Hey, we see the sweet eternal response. Do you identify with that? Have you experienced salvation? Do you have eternal life? Do you have assurance? Do you have the sanctification work, the process going on in your life tonight? We ask ourselves affirmative identity. Last but certainly not least, we see a surely exciting reward. Hey, the Bible says here in verse number 50 that Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a time in your life where you truly have to acknowledge Christ. There was a time in Nathanael's life that the light bulb came on and he realized that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. He recognized and realized that He knew his heart. And my friend, you have to ask yourself, do you identify with that? And my friend, whatever you do, there's surely an exciting reward. He says there, thou shalt see greater things than these. Hey, Nathanael had just had Jesus read his history book, and he had never encountered Jesus. He just had Jesus tell him whom he was, where he come from, what He was doing as He was there underneath that fig tree. And Nathaniel was blown away. My friend, we ought to be blown away every now and again when we realize whom God is, when we realize how powerful and how all-knowing that God truly is. As you read this Bible, as you study this book, and you see how that God revealed Himself throughout history, time and time again, generation upon generation, as Brother Andy's been going through the tabernacle and the feast, and we recognize and realize how that Jesus is the seat, how that Jesus is the foundation and all that. My friend, we need to stand back in astonishment and say, God, oh God, how powerful art Thou. And we find that Nathanael did that same thing. And the Bible says there, Thou shalt see greater things than these. Hey, he didn't know that he was getting ready to see a leper get cured from leprosy, did he? Hey, he didn't know he was getting ready to see a blind man receive his sight for the first time. Hey, he didn't know that he was going to be able to realize that there's a deaf man going to receive his hearing, and he's going to be able to shout the glory down with everybody else and know what he's doing. Hey, he didn't realize that he's going to be able to see somebody at a wedding, be able to see the water turned into wine. He didn't know those things were going to take place. But my friend Jesus said that he's going to see greater things than these. I want to tell you tonight that there is a surely exciting reward for you and I as Christians, as God's children, as God's people. My friend, there's greater things that's waiting ahead for our church. There's greater things that's waiting ahead for the real church, the all-together church. As God looks down and sees, He just don't see the local church, but He sees all the born again. He sees all the blood-bought children of God. And He says, hey, there's something greater than this waiting down the road. Hey, the Bible tells us here that He says there in verse number 51, He says, and He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, there's going to be some great things that's going to take place in heaven when we get there. Amen. Hey, there's some wonderful things that's taking place in days gone by. There's wonderful things that might happen in our life in the days to come. But I want to tell you, in the eternal, there's going to be some wonderful things that we are going to be able to look at, going to be able to identify with. Hey, I believe that Jesus is primarily dealing with His second coming. I believe that He's primarily dealing with the things of the rapture and the things of the tribulation and the things about the second coming. As He says right there, and speaks of that Son of Man in verse number 51. He says, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus liked to identify Himself as the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 13. He says there, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. Amen. Hey, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says, and came to the Ancient of Days, that's God Almighty, and they brought Him near before Him. And there was given Him dominion. Amen. Hey, He has dominion now, but it's going to be eternally given unto Him there once again. And glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. Amen. Hey, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says there that everyone should serve Him. His dominion is not an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He's the Son of Man. He's God Almighty. And the Bible says here that He spoke unto him. He says, you're going to see greater things than these. Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I'm reminded of that time of great celebration that we read of over in Revelation chapter number 19. For the Bible says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And I'll tell you what, God will judge whoredom. Amen. God will judge iniquity. God will judge fornication. And hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. I'll tell you, I'm thankful I'm going to be in that number one day, able to step back and give praise and honor and glory to the Lamb of God. The Bible says, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Well, I'll tell you what, one day we're going to be able to put on that clean gown. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm filthy. I'm wicked. I'm a sorry, low-down son of a gun aside from the blood of Jesus. But God's made us clean. God's cleansed us by His grace. God's made us white because of His mercy. It's through the blood of the Lamb that we're able to be made white as snow. And the Bible says there that He hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with that fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And then verse 10 says, And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He saith unto me, See thou do it not. I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. My friend, we need to worship Him. Amen. We need to glorify Him. Hey, there's great and mighty things yet to come. Hey, some have a smart aleck remark. Some have received the sweet eternal response. But surely there's an exciting reward waiting those that identify as Nathaniel did. My friend, my question to you tonight is, are you saved? Do you know Christ? As I look out across this congregation, I believe as I've received testimony from many that you know Christ. But my friend, there may be one here tonight. Never trusted in Jesus. I'm asking you, just as Philip told Nathanael, come and see Him. You say, Preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Hey, come and see. I don't know if I can live it. Come and see. I don't know if I can fulfill it. Come and see. Trust in Jesus and Christ alone. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the strength. Just as I shared this morning, He'll never ask you to do nothing that He won't see through. He'll never ask you to go forth and take a step of faith that He won't allow you to have the strength and the courage and the boldness to go every step of the way. My friend, God's able. Hey, I'll tell you what, judgment is going to take place one day. Are you ready? How do you affirmatively identify yourself? Do you identify with Christ or do you identify with the world? Do you identify with God or do you identify with the flesh? Who do you identify with tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.